Hello and welcome to episode 40 of the Noisecast, a show about technology, gadgets, industry gossip, and more. On tonight's episode, we have Gonzo Rider.
Howdy doody.
OC Entertainment.
I'm OC.
Penguin.
Hey, long time no see. I've missed you guys. Well, except for Vito.
And Vito number 9.
Give me your ears, Gypsy.
God damn it. unfortunately, we won't be having a Ustream tonight to do some really... Well, we're just dumb, let's put it that way. And we don't solve problems ahead of time.
Obviously, you know we don't have Ustream going because you're listening to it later.
If they had Flash and I had a higher connection bandwidth limit.
Well, we also... I think it's our responsibility to apologize to anybody who was hoping for a Ustream and is not getting it on this recorded episode.
Like Merrimack in the chat right now? Oh, she left.
And she's our good friend Mud Monster.
So,
oh, too bad, because I was going to have a listener contest for everyone in the chat room. You were going to win $1,000, and too bad. Sucks for you guys.
That's okay, you can do
I'm
it next
spend
week.
It all on cocaine and more cocaine.
And then you'd probably waste the rest of it.
You're really not helping your stereotype. You know that, right?
Stereotype. I'm not Colombian.
Filipino stereotype. I don't think so.
Yeah, the Filipino stereotype is short and skinny. Two things Ben is not.
Hey. That's true.
Oh, boy. Okay, so we will be back next week with our Ustream, so hang in there. Sorry about this week. Episode 40, though.
12 away from 52.
That's one more than 39.
I was sort of going for 10 away from our 50th anniversary.
Well, I was going for 12 away from a year.
Well, we skipped a few weeks, so we've already hit a year. Or no, almost. Not quite. Almost.
Well, October something is our 1 year, right?
Yeah.
But, no,
we could look it up, but whatever.
I've only skipped 1 week.
I've only been doing this a week, so I don't really.
So,
our
anyway.
First episode is dated October 12th, so.
All right, that's our 1 year. But, anyway, well, right now, episode 40. Thank you all for coming on. Welcome back to Eric. We loved you so much. Actually, I didn't love you. Everybody else did. I wasn't here to love
you.
I
didn't.
You're a dick, Steven.
I'll love you this time, though.
I won't.
Aww.
So, and I've been here for like a month. I don't get no welcome back, you asshole.
Has it really been that long since you were last on here?
Ouch, Steven. Ouch.
Well, no, it was a serious question. Like, has it really been that long?
Yes, it's been like over a month. Like,
oh, wow.
Yeah, been that long since
been working
here,
hard
Steven.
At the mall.
Yep, working hard and... Yeah, whatever the second half of that cliched saying is.
Babies pee into trash cans.
Yeah, it was kind of gross. But I guess it was better than the alternative, peeing on the floor. So anyway.
There were no bottles to pee in?
We're not in Greece, Steven. this is the kind of banter I missed. So what's this tech news stuff?
Tech news. So I guess the first thing we should make clear is that there was a bit of tech news that caused the sort of waves in the geek industry this week with Internet Explorer, apparently a study saying that Internet Explorer users had a lower IQ than, for example, users of Firefox, Opera, or Chrome. What happened was, though, that after shit hit the fan, turned out that this story was fabricated.
Made out of fabric.
Honestly, I'm
I think
not
the
really
study was
anymore.
Fabricated. I'm still not convinced the story was fabricated.
Well, I mean, it might have been a hoax, but my empirical evidence still proves it to be true.
Turns out,
like everyone I know that uses Internet Explorer isn't okay. Maybe they don't have a lower IQ necessarily, but they have a lower
to use Internet Explorer.
IQ.
There's a difference.
Yeah,
and they have like
are
half the screen
it.
Is toolbars. It's fucking annoying.
They're the same folks who want to install those toolbars. I smack people in the head for that.
But you, I might need see my Media Monkey someday.
You guys,
my wife's browser is horrible. It is riddled with fucking toolbars and shortcuts, and it pains me to use her computer.
Give her my keytest.
She has the buttons, buddy.
So slow.
Do you really need an Ask Jeeves? Do you need Ask Jeeves for anything? Put it that
no.
way.
No, I don't need Jeeves. Fired him years ago.
But
shitty.
The Canadian research firm was called Aptiquant or something. I can't pronounce that. Which the fact that I can't pronounce it makes it more proof that it's not real.
Things you can't pronounce aren't real.
Exactly.
There goes everything in the Middle East.
Casinos are fictional.
And so is Africa.
I see he has no witty comeback for that one.
No, because
can't argue the truth.
It hurts. You're right here. You can't see where I'm pointing to, but it's my penis.
That's what I would have assumed.
So this company was a Canadian research firm that was supposedly credited for the study. The website was only up for a few days before publishing the story. So I'm guessing some very savvy reporter who originally broke the story didn't do any background checking to make sure that this was an actual company.
Yeah.
So,
I thought we were supposed to take everything at face value, though. And just
that
run with
seems
it.
To be an alarming trend with the internet these days. People, instead of trying to get accurate information, they try to be the first ones to get it out. Like all those times when Yahoo just has a string of random letters, and then you click on it, and it's one little sentence about a story that they plan on adding to later. It's not a new thing, and it's really kind of irritating.
Wasn't there another story this week of like? Someone had some spy shot of a super slim iPhone, but like the person who made it admitted they photoshopped it and said something like, this is all it takes to get on the news rumor cycle. And somebody reported it as an actual spy shot.
Oh yeah.
Demonstrating his point.
Well, even the, this is my next, when they did their mock-up of the iPhone 5 a few months ago. I mean, they even wrote in big, bold letters that this is a mock-up, this is not the actual thing, et cetera, et cetera. Even with that, people in the comments still were, like, really pissed off, like, saying that that would never be the new iPhone, this is fake, it's not real, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, guys.
Well, that's because people are stupid.
Going to that being first mentality that Vito was talking about, I remember it was like sometime last year, Russell Brand hosted one of those awards shows. I think it was like MTV Music Awards or something. And somebody was decided, I guess, to play a little prank or whatever. And photographers were like taking pictures of Russell Brand and his mom. And so this person went on Wikipedia and changed Russell Brand's Wikipedia page to like change his parents' name, like Nancy or something like that, whatever it actually is not. And then on all the stories that were coming out, it was like pictures of Russell Brand shown with Mother Nancy. Nobody had to fact check. It was just Wikipedia.
Wow.
That's clever.
That is clever.
I kind of wish I could have either been the guy or known the guy that did that. Just because I could be like, yeah, I know his mom's not Nancy. I just duped the entire media world. You're all a bunch of idiots.
Well, that happens. It's become a common thing to edit Wikipedia for famous people and just watch it go.
Oh, yeah. But their moderators are fast, though, man. One time I edited something that wasn't even like a famous article, just goofing off, and like in 8 minutes they had it fixed, so.
Yeah, no, the mods are on that, but. You do it, and then you take a screen cap, and it's there.
Well, they have to be. They have to be. It's the internet. It's fucking trolls everywhere. Just for shit like this. Mother Nancy, you know?
Now, did you guys see the new Wikipedia rating the articles on how reliable it is?
Yeah, I've seen that.
No, I haven't.
What is it?
pretty much at the bottom of every Wikipedia article, you could give it like a, I think it was like a 5-star rating or a 1 out of 5 rating as how reliable the information and how accurate it is. So you sort of rate the quality of the article itself, how it's written.
So like, instead of actually going to fix what's wrong with it, it's like, oh, that's wrong, and move on.
Yeah, and well, and there's a checkbox underneath all the ratings that say, I am highly knowledgeable about this topic.
But then who rates the reliability of the reliability score? Like, no, this is wrong. This has 5 stars, and it's not. So they downvote that?
I don't know.
It seems
there's,
like a whole...
There's four categories, and they're trustworthiness, objective, complete, and well-written. And you can judge them.
Well, as long as it makes you feel better. You know, I didn't trust Wikipedia before, but now that I have something that says 5 stars at the bottom.
Oh, man, that totally has to be 100% accurate.
I think their problem with this, why they did this, was I think if I read correctly, they had said something about the majority of Wikipedia people who go there don't edit at all, even when they do see an error. So I guess they're trying to get some more interaction out of their viewers, because I think
like putting it at the very bottom.
90% of the articles are written by like 100 people or something like that.
I mean, a lot of people don't want to go and edit Wikipedia. It's not easy. Well, I mean, it's easy, but
I wonder how many of the like the laymen actually realize you can edit Wikipedia. Like, I think a lot of the general population don't know.
That's fairly common knowledge, though. Because, like, that's part of, like, why people get on its case is because anyone can edit it. So I'm not sure there's too many folks that don't know you can edit it.
Well, even the editing features...
think it's more complicated than it is.
You know what? Like, the editing features are complicated because you need to learn... Like, if you go to a Wikipedia page and hit edit, and you see this giant thing of text with all these brackets and all this other stuff, it gets confusing. Like, me, I'm looking at one right now, and I'm like, I don't know how to edit this shit. I don't know what I'm supposed to put in here.
Yeah, I mean, the markup is kind of complex looking, but you can see the text in there.
Right, but I mean, for somebody that would, that's just, you know, passing by and sees this shit, it would...
Oh, yeah.
It's
not very accessible at all.
No. I think that's one of the reasons why people don't want to edit Wikipedia articles.
Well, I mean, let's be honest here. Do you guys edit Wikipedia articles?
I did not. And I got really mad when my edit got taken off.
That's another reason it's not accessible, is because like if you're just some guy and you go in there to edit it, one of the moderators is going to come in 10 minutes and, you know, unless you can go the length to back up what you're saying and prove to these folks that this edit needs to be made, then they're just going to roll it back thinking you're a troll.
Well, yeah, because I remember I edited one page and it was about, I think that something, it was close by where I live. And it was just a really minor edit, and it was saying something that's pretty much common knowledge in our area about the place. And it immediately got flagged within like a day of no source or something like that. Source, not citation needed.
Yeah.
I'm like, I fucking live here. What's the citation?
I am the source.
Yeah. So it's not that handy with primary sources, but.
Yeah.
Good luck
to
Jimmy.
You should have found it in a book. Written a book, published it, and then been like, here's my source, bitch.
Self-publish my thoughts.
Yeah.
Do blogs count as sources?
I don't know. Maybe for pop culture stuff, but...
That'd be very sad if the TMZ was quoted as a source on Wikipedia articles.
Oh, jeez.
It should be quoted as a source on the TMZ page. What's a better source about TMZ other than itself?
Rosie Perez, whatever it's called.
Perez Hill?
Yes, that one.
Yeah, I don't read that blog.
It was too gay for you?
No, I just don't give a shit about that kind of celebrity gossip.
Anyway, speaking about humans and their ability to be inaccessible and not understanding how things work, Google's self-driving car had its first crash.
Woo!
Fortunately,
they had insurance.
Unfortunately, it was by a human. So all those driving car naysayers, haha to you.
Was Mr. Bean driving? Oh, too soon.
Too soon. That's got to be even worse, though, like if you're driving that car and you crash it. Because, I mean, not only is it an expensive thing, I mean, I'm sure Google sunk tens of millions of dollars into that thing, but you know you're going to be on the news.
Yeah.
I kind of feel sorry for the guy.
Like, why are you driving it, asshole? Let it go. See what happens when you drive it?
And you just made all humans look bad. Like, see, this is why we need self-driving cars, because of dipshits like you.
This is what happens when you don't let go of them. Get into accident.
Just succumb to the robot overlords.
I think it's pretty impressive that it hasn't gotten into an accident by itself yet.
I think that it was just wanting to mate with another Prius, so it crashed into the back of another Prius.
It couldn't resist its beautiful plumage.
Because that's what I think happened here. The guy's like, oh, it was my fault, but he really just had a horny self-driving car.
He took the fall. Now that's a wingman.
Fucking Kirby's coming back. He's a Prius this time.
Before the news broke that it was actually a human that was at fault here, I think people were really dissecting the fact that they took the shadow, the post-accident picture, and they were looking at the shadow of it and saying how possibly the car could have been confused by the shadow and thought the shadow or something was the actual car instead of the car itself.
Was that a groundhog?
I think there's a conspiracy here that it actually might have been the car that crashed, but the guy was like, oh man, it was totally my fault. So don't hate on self-driving cars. Hate on me.
Is this some major Google cover-up?
Yeah, don't hate on self-driving groundhogs. It was totally me.
Oh, shoot. Like, I'm looking at the Jalopnik article, and it says that the crash actually involved, like, three other vehicles. Like, the Google's Prius struck another Prius, then hit another Honda, then hit another Honda, and then hit another Prius.
See, it was horny. Totally makes sense.
But seriously, like, you gotta be, like, that must have meant, though, that the car was going, like, really friggin' fast to, like, slam forward four cars.
Like, impossibly fast for a Prius, kind of fast. Unless it's mating season.
I've driven a Prius, and they don't go that fast.
Yeah. Fucking Prius mating season, that's what happened.
I think that's the best story so far.
That was an actual eyewitness report, but the woman, I guess, who was in the eyewitness report failed to mention if there was actually somebody driving or not.
Yeah.
She's been bought off.
Still, I mean, that makes it even more odd. Was this guy, like, inebriated? He was just, like, kicking back in the driving car, in the self-driving car, kicking a few beers back. Woohoo, I'm having fun in my self-driving car.
Hey, if I had a self-driving car, that's the kind of shit I would do.
I think the self-driving car was driving the speed limit, and he was like, fuck this, I gotta get to work, and just switches it to manual, peels out. Because that's what I would do. I can't stand driving
the speed
limit. Like
fucking Will Smith and iRobot?
Yes, exactly. You're not putting that on manual, are you?
Yes, I am. You can't drive at these speeds. Challenge accepted.
Oh.
Steven can't talk about that because he gets confused about that movie in Minority Report.
Okay, I kind of get Minority Report. What's to get confused about an iRobot?
Both involve robots.
Robots are confusing.
And both involve guys running a lot. So there we go.
They're both movies that had stuff in them. It took place in the future.
And
I could see Will Smith is a minority, really,
so...
Wouldn't that make me not confuse them?
No.
Yeah, because Will Smith wasn't in Minority Report.
Oh! See?
Yes.
Yeah, but he and Tom
point
kind of look alike,
right there.
they do kind of look alike. It's hard to tell them apart.
Big, tall, black guy, a little short, white guy. Yeah, I can see how you get those confused.
Wow. Enough about cars, I say.
Oh, we're having lots of fun.
We're going to switch to a serious issue. How about that? No, actually, we're not.
That always works out well.
Well, this is sort of semi-serious, but... Super serial, yes. But apparently, I know Eric wrote this article up on the Noisecast about survey saying that one out of every two smartphone users in the world is running Android. So 48% of the global market share is...
I don't like statistics that say one out of every two people own do something.
I'm sorry.
Because I can go upstairs to my neighbor, and she doesn't have Android, and I don't have an Android, so it's false.
See, you are...
You don't have enough two people.
Your fallacy comes from your tiny sample size and your tiny penis.
Well, fuck you.
Well, it's like that statistic, one of four people have herpes. There's five of us, so let's play a little game here. I'm going to say it's Steven. Well, I caught it from Steven, so, you know, whatever.
So there's two out of five.
And then I gave it to the rest of
you. I do want to say, though, like, I figured it out, like, a couple days later, so I didn't bother updating it, but, like, that actually was referring to sales, not actually the number of people using them right now. But, like,
either way... Who gets a phone and doesn't use it?
Well, okay, when we say sales, though, are we saying sales to individuals or sales to stores?
That's what's a little less than clear, because, like, all of them, yeah. I'm not sure how Canalys gets their numbers. None of them are terribly transparent about that issue, but whatever data they collected, which is probably from Microsoft saying they're shipping and Google's activations and Apple sales or whatever...
It says Android, the activations, though, still, like, that just strikes me as so, anytime it comes up, they always say, like, 500,000 a day or some shit, like, how's that even possible?
By selling a lot of phones, like, that's going by, like, when the phone starts up for the first time and, like, talks to Google servers, like, the phone can, like, it only registers once, for, like, for every unique device, so that's not a ROM.
Jesus Christ, you're liking more than Caroline. Cut it the fuck out.
Vito, shut your pie hole. Look at
anyway, shut up, Vito.
Yeah.
Anyway, Vito. Every single time that device, every single time a new device registers with Google servers, which you have to do every time you start a new Android device, that's what they count as an activation. So it's not, you know, someone flashing a new ROM or someone, you know, buying it from somebody else, and so it's a resell. It's the first time that, what do they call it, EMI or number?
IEMI, I think.
IEMI,
something
yeah.
like that.
Every time
IMEI, new, I don't know.
It has IE in there, it means you're stupid.
Yeah. So,
but like, I mean, no, I understand the process. I'm just saying that number that's quoted all the time, that, you know, over half a million, that just seems so suspect to me because...
Why?
It just seems like too many. Like, if that's a day,
suspicious because it's high.
But you say half a million a day in a week. That's, you know,
okay,
3.5 million. And then
here's the thing:
it seems
that if that piece of data was, I guess, didn't fit with the rest of the story, I might believe that. But, you know, Apple says that they're, you know, that they sell what was. It's an old number, but it was something like 300,000 a day, including iPods, iPads, and iPhones. If you took out the iPhone part and, like, compared it to everything else, it matches these studies that say Android is selling more than everybody else. And when it comes to sales, those studies always say Android is selling more. If those ones said that they're selling about the same as the iPhone, I might be a little bit more suspicious. But, you know, the story is consistent. It's just really, really high.
No, yeah, it's not that I doubt trends. It's it's the actual numbers that it just seems so weird to me.
I think that's just paranoid.
I think it's just me.
No, well, I can see Ben's
I think
point.
It's like the because I guess the world is bigger 000, than I think it is, but
at 500,000 a day, you're looking at about 200 million phones in a year.
Yeah, I just don't feel like there are that many smartphones in the world, but I guess I'm wrong.
No, actually, look at it this way, okay? 500,000 a day would be, in 3 months, would be about 45 million devices, all right? And Apple, in the last quarter, said they sold about 20.34 million devices. So, like, that sort of fits, is, you know, Apple's share is about a little less than half of Android's share. Apple's numbers sort of match up with Android's. There's probably a little bit of room in there where it's, you know, for margin of error or whatever, but it's not out of scale.
It's interesting.
I guess what I'm trying to say, though, I don't expect the scale to be that big, is what I'm saying. But whatever.
Well, the market is surprising us right now, but I won't doubt that.
And like, let me be clear too. It's not. I'm not saying that I think the numbers are wrong. They just surprise me. Is all.
Okay. Okay. That I can accept because like it surprises me too.
Like I don't think there are that many smartphones in the world, but that's just me thinking small, I guess. Which I'm thinking about Steven again.
Oh, you mean penis?
It's interesting because you have every quarter. Was it Nielsen releases their? Or is it every month? Every month, Nielsen releases their global market share on mobile phones and smartphones. And usually, I know with Android recently, it's pulled ahead with at least 30% of the world market share. So it does seem to correlate with that. That the numbers are that high. So I'm not, I mean, one in two out of every smartphone user in the world, that does seem a little bit excessive compared to the Nielsen numbers. But at the same point, it sort of does make sense. I don't know if you sort of could follow that.
It sort of does. I will say this about Nielsen in particular. Like, there's a bunch of folks giving out numbers, and like, I don't want to say Nielsen is wrong, but like, I've noticed Nielsen in particular tends to stray a bit from what the others say. And Nielsen was also, via ratings, responsible for Firefly getting canceled, so I don't trust them.
Well, there's also, you got to understand that the only place you get Nielsen's not there. Counting like every phone sold, they're going by what you know major corporations tell them they sell or what they
or
what they do. So no corporation is probably going to give you the exact number. They're going to pad the stats a little bit to make themselves look either better or worse.
Yeah, Microsoft does that with their Microsoft always says numbers shipped, and it's like been thoroughly established that's two resellers. So, like, there's no word on exactly how many Windows Phone 7 handsets are out there.
Yeah, well, it was, like, what, a few months ago they were talking about, like, a million playbooks were shipped or something like that, and probably about 750,000 were sitting on shelves.
Yeah, exactly. Which, it seems just depressing to me when a company pads their shipped number, and the shipped number, which is, like, twice what they actually sold, is still dismally low. Like, Microsoft says they shipped 1.5 million Windows Phone 7 handsets last quarter, and you can probably guess that only like 750,000 were actually sold, but 1.5 million is still so far below Apple's 20 million or Android's 40 million or whatever.
Yeah,
it's like it seems like a three-year-old getting in his mom's high heels to feel taller.
I remember 3 months after the Playbook was released, I think you had written one or I had written an article about the sales, and they were only saying that it was at about 300,000. 250 or 300,000 had been sold with the Playbook within the first 3 months. So they're coming around saying now that, 6 months down the line, more than doubled those sales with a device that's had nothing but a bad rap ever since it launched.
Yeah. One thing that surprised me, and this is, I'm surprised about this because I heard about it from my dad. I didn't hear about it from any tech news sites like Giz or Engadget or anything. But the Asus Transformer has actually been like the second best tablet in sales after the iPad. Like really? beating out the Zoom and the Playbook and the, has the touchpad been out for long?
A few months, I think, a month or two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Either way, it was like something like 400,000 units per month.
That's the one with the full size keyboard that you could attach
to it.
Right?
It's an optional dock, yeah.
Okay.
But yeah. Then at the same time, though, isn't saying like second place after the iPad is still like 2% of the market?
It's not a huge percent. Like Apple has the tablet market right now. They are overwhelmingly owning it. But I'm not saying like it's significant. I'm just saying I'm surprised that nobody said it. Like all the news is on the Zoom or whatever HTC is calling their tab, the Pettuccini or whatever. It's like
what?
It sounds like a pasta. Seriously, it's
with called Alfredo. That'd be good.
Pettuccini.
Yeah, lightly seasoned with little boys.
Heyo.
Oh, this took an awkward turn, didn't it?
Once again, we got a reference family watchdog.us. We need to sponsor this podcast. We mention them enough.
I have a question about this market share, though. Do you think that people, because a lot of these people who are switching to Android are actual former iPhone owners, like, for example, me. Do you think that there is going to be a sort of point where Android will maybe lose market share and it'll sort of even out between iOS and Android?
I don't think so, and I'll tell you why. Because Android caters to everything. They cater to the cheap, crappy handsets, to the high-end handsets, and everything in between. Unless Apple, like, diversifies their product offering, like, they're still really only in the decently high-end market, and the only low-end thing they have is last year's iPhone. Which sort of goes against the whole trendy mentality. So, and it's still only the touchscreen with one button device. I think that as long as Apple puts themselves into that box, long term, they're still going to end up in the same place that they always have, which is fine. They make a ton of money that way, but.
Yeah, and I think eventually it's getting to the point where pretty much any phone you buy is going to be Android, even if it's not necessarily a smartphone, like as we refer to them as. It's going to have Android on it, which I don't know if that technically counts towards this kind of number because this is talking about smartphones. But I can see, you know, just dumb phones having Android on it, in which case, you know, everyone's going to be an Android user, whether they like it or not, or even care. Kind of like Windows users. You just buy a PC, you have Windows. You didn't think about it, but you're a Windows user.
I think it's already started with Motorola with its low-end dumb phones. It's actually taking trip down Android. And it's not even licensing it as Android. It's making it proprietary software because it doesn't include the market or anything.
I know Vito has some great things to say about that.
I'm not sure if those actually are counted in Google's...
No, they're not. I doubt that they are. I doubt these are considered Android phones, but I'm just saying those are running straight up Android, whatever it is, 2.0 or 1.5 or something.
Yeah, well, isn't that kind of what Google wanted to do, though, was like... With the last Google I.O., they talked about having Google or Android in your light bulbs, for crying out loud. Like, that's what they wanted to accomplish, was to get Android into every device they could.
Exactly. And it was kind of like why I think they might have just lost the position or something, but why Nokia was always the largest phone manufacturer was because every shitty phone in the world was Nokia. And now it's going to get to the point where every shitty phone in the world is Android. So there's kind of no choice but to be number one.
Exactly.
Notice how without Kevlar on here, there's no Windows Phone 7 talk.
I could talk about Windows Phone 7, but I still haven't bothered to put that mango on my arrive, and I don't care.
Oh, the enthusiasm.
Yeah. So I'm on it. Like, mango may be great. I've heard great things about Mango, but right now, without it, this phone kind of sucks.
Well, isn't that what everyone's talking about, though? It totally changes the game, and it makes your shitty experience an excellent
experience.
That's what
I've heard. You just said that your phone sucks, but you haven't put Mango on it and you don't care. You should be the one person that cares more than anyone because your phone sucks.
It's kind of like, this car sucks. It doesn't have an engine in it, and I don't feel like putting one in right now, but this car fucking sucks.
I have a free engine over here.
Okay, can I just say, though, that will install itself,
but fuck that. I'd rather have a shitty car, so that I have something to complain about.
This is a dev beta, though, right? Isn't it?
No.
I don't know, because I don't give a shit, so...
I looked into it when I can't remember who it was, probably Kevlar, mentioned that the Mango update was a dev beta, like it's not actually released yet.
No, I don't think Mango's
coming. That was a long time ago.
I think Mango's coming later this, because it's 7.5, right?
Oh, exactly. Yeah. Even the dev beta has got to be better than what you're using.
Okay, let me explain to you why I'm not doing that, because I don't need to void my warranty again. My Evo already got, like, rained on and busted, so I can't afford to buy another phone right now, so I'm not going to void the warranty on this thing just yet. But, so that's why I don't have the Mango update.
That actually voids your warranty, really?
I'm assuming it would.
It shouldn't, because if it's an official, from Microsoft, thing, it should not. That's what I'm guessing.
If that's the case, then I might consider it, because
that's how it is.
That's the impression I was under. That's the impression I was under, because that's always what it was whenever I flashed a new ROM on my Evo. So if that's not the case, then I'll look into that. But
because with Android, as long as it could be a beta, as long as it is straight from whoever your manufacturer is, as long as it's an official beta, it does not void your warranty.
Fair enough. Then I'll look into that, because having to restart an app every time I do something else is a pain in the ass.
Right. But somebody had mentioned earlier that Android will take over the world by being the number one shitty phone manufacturer. Was that Penguin?
That was me.
Yes. That might not be the case, considering the lawsuit that Google has against it. From Oracle, who owns the rights and the patents to Java, which Google has in its core code without permission. And an incriminating email, apparently, from Andy Rubin, the founding father of Android, which pretty much said in the early days, back in, I think, 04 or 05, it sent an email saying, either we switch our entire platform to C# and some other Windows software or whatever, or we use Java and without permission, and we face some consequences on the way, find some enemies.
Can I say about that, one thing I haven't heard nearly as much is in 2007, Sun used to own Java. It wasn't right. Oracle yet. Right. The Sun CEO actually posted on a corporate blog, a post talking about how great Android was, and they were excited about their partnership with Google. So, like, to me, it sounds a bit more like Oracle got a hold of Sun, and Sun was always a bit more pro open source software, and Oracle was a better relationship with, like, Microsoft and Apple. I can't prove anything, but I personally believe that it's more of Oracle realizing how much they could make off of suing Google by deciding now that they have control to not let them use it than it was that Google, like, went ahead without permission.
Which brings us to our huge topic list topic of patent law overhaul.
Yeah.
Oh, God, not this again.
No, don't give me that. Not this again.
It's coming.
It's like every episode for the last month we've started bitching about patent laws.
We've been bitching about it, but we've been bitching about it. That's about it.
We haven't delved deep into the belly of the beast.
Well, us and every other tech podcast in the world has been talking about patent law, like software patent law, for past month constantly.
Because there's so much going on.
There is, exactly. and you know what? Very few people have ever admitted to why it sucks and what solution is needed.
So, I was listening to the This Is My Next podcast, and I think it was Josh Topolsky had a great idea. It was like taking like five or so features or a set of features and patenting that instead of one feature. For example, like on the iPhone, if you scroll to the bottom of a page and keep scrolling, like it'll bounce back. There's a patent on that. If nobody else can use that, like that gets a little bit too specific sometimes. But if you took like the overall experience of Safari and said, this is what I'm patenting, you'd probably run into a lot fewer of these instances where a manufacturer gets 20 lawsuits against them because of tiny little things.
Yeah, but the people that are patenting all this stuff don't want fewer instances.
Oh, of course.
They want everybody to try and use something, you know, the little minuscule thing that nobody thought to check for a patent for, like, oh, I don't know, touching your screen and having the interaction happen.
Yeah.
So that they can sue them and make money off of somebody else's work because you decided back in 1985 to patent some shit that didn't even exist yet.
Well, so yeah. My feeling is, yes, I haven't been on, so I haven't addressed this yet. I don't think you should be able to patent an idea. Like the idea of touching a piece of glass and it does something, you shouldn't be able to patent that. Maybe how you did it, like your specific technology and how you got it to work. Yeah, go ahead and patent that because you put research and development to that. But not the overall concept of doing it.
And until you've done it, I don't think you should be able to patent it. Like I have this idea that would be cool, but I haven't done it yet.
Yeah. Exactly. Or you haven't done it in a consumer product. Making it. Am I still here?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're just listening.
Oh, cool. Something else disconnected. But you know, companies have hundreds of patents for products that they never make. And that seems to be more just having an arsenal for the lawyers than protecting actual intellectual property you're using. The patent system is supposed to make it possible for inventors to make money from their products. If you don't make any money from a product, if you develop an idea, even a prototype, but never do anything with it, it's absurd to still have a patent for that.
Oh, yeah, you're right. And I had a link in there to a G Plus thing where I sort of bitched about this a little bit. But Matt, a.k.a. My Little Pony, he was a fellow noiser and et cetera.
He means pony, for those of you listening.
No, he doesn't.
No, it's P-W-N-Y.
Pone.
Pony.
Pone.
Not,
yeah, pone.
Yeah, not pawny. Pawn is something else. That's where you take shit you don't want anymore.
Just stop talking. You're sounding like a dumbass.
So, but he actually has submitted his idea to his state, I believe, congressman or representative. But pretty much what he says is that patent should be 10 years in length, and it would be required that your product or whatever it is that you're patenting needs to be in actual development or production, or it has to be active in order for the patent to be valid. So pretty much you patent something in 96 and you just sit on the idea and do nothing with it. After 5 years, your patent sort of becomes, or after 10 years, it becomes invalid. So anybody after that who does take the idea and does something with it, well, you were just patent squatting, so it doesn't matter. And then if you continue to keep that active, you could then extend the patent by every 5 years if you continue to keep it active.
You know what that kind of reminds me of is if anyone is familiar with the story of the original Fantastic Four movie. Do you guys know about that?
I've tried to forget.
It was like during the mid-90s or so, something like that. Some studio, I think it was Fox, they had the license to make a Fantastic Four movie. But it was going to run out. And so basically they were like, fuck, we feel like we could make a cool Fantastic Four movie, but we can't make it right now. Because of money or technology or something, whatever. But they didn't want to lose the license. So, like, fuck it. And they made a really shitty, shitty movie that they really had no intention of ever releasing. Maybe, like, a very limited release. just so they made it so they could hold on to the license.
A straight to DVD thing.
Yeah, and it's horrible, horrible movie. But they kept the license by making that. And that's the same kind of concept, I think. I don't know.
It is.
I just wanted to talk about that shitty movie.
It is kind of the same thing. That's what they do with patents right now, although I don't think the patent system is quite as... I don't think patents extend quite as long as copyrights do now, which is just insanely long, but it is the same concept.
Isn't copyright, so was it 75 or 100 years?
It's something like 70 to 100 years after death.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And, yeah, after the death of the original creator. So, basically, we'll never see Mickey Mouse or The Lord of the Rings or Narnia or anything in the public domain ever.
Well, I was briefly reading, I haven't done a lot of research on it because I was reading it on the bus on my phone, basically about how Disney killed the public domain in essence.
Yeah.
Because they confused, what was it, copyright and what's the other thing that's like copyright? Trademark, I think. Like they basically misunderstood the two, the difference. And so they had this long fight to basically like kill public domain. And they were like, oh shit, we didn't need to do that the whole time. Whatever, our bad.
Yeah. So I can't tell you how mad I get though about how the copyrights keep extending so far, and it's not even about Mickey Mouse per se. I understand that Mickey Mouse is still being used by Disney and is still part of their revenue streams, but I think it was 2009, nothing entered the public domain at all. Absolutely no works entered the public domain because of extensions on copyrights that were lobbied by people who were making money on one thing. Because of one thing they wanted to keep making money on, they changed the law, so now nothing loses its copyright.
It's mind-boggling, and according to Tony, this all stems from laws that haven't been revised since the 1950s.
Yeah.
So this is stuff that more or less needs to be updated for the 21st century. Will it not? I mean, it's hard to say. I mean, the administration.
I don't have much hope for the fundamental change happening anytime soon because it's not like no one is aware of the problem. It's not like there aren't people out there lobbying and protesting and writing about this issue. It's that no one cares. You know, most folks don't really care that there was a crappy Fantastic Four movie made to keep the rights. They only care that there was a slightly less crappy version made later.
Right. And for those listening who want to see Matt's full thing on it, since you probably can't access the G+, I've also pasted it in the show notes. So check out the show notes. His full suggestion thing will be in there for you guys to read. That way,
I was going to say something else, but I forgot.
That probably wasn't important.
I wanted to know what it was, Ben. I would have listened.
I'm trying to remember. God damn it. It was like actually topical, too. Not some just random bullshit I was going to say. But whatever. If I just suddenly interject it in a completely different conversation, that'll be why. We'll just cut it in in post.
And speaking of more shady business, ISPs apparently are hijacking search queries to earn cash. This was sort of mind-boggling a little bit. But
I just remembered. Hold on before we move on. One last thing about law is... I've always thought it's too bad we can't just have like a common sense element to the law. Like everything has, I understand why everything has to be written down to the letter. Like, but I just kind of wish we could have like discretion and we could just be like, no, you're being an asshole. You can't do that. Even though you can technically do that according to this, you're full of yourself. Go fuck off and stop.
I think to a certain extent, that's sort of the role of judges. Like, they look at an issue and decide if someone's being an ass or not. But the trouble is that their decision also turns out to be precedent later on. There's laws and then there's precedent for previous cases where they applied the law to a specific situation. So one judge looking at one guy and saying, you're an asshole, later gets used as its own sort of sub-law in the next case against someone who's kind of being an asshole, but really, if you look at it, it's the other guy who's being the bigger asshole. But, and I feel like the system is designed to make that possible, but then defeats itself.
Yeah. Well, I feel like if somebody had patented breathing air, they're like, you all owe me money, you're all using my patent, you're all breathing, someone could just be like, okay, technically, yeah, you patented breathing air, but you're a fucking asshole, and we're not going to listen to you anymore. Go to hell. And I understand why it can't necessarily work that way, because there's too much room for abuse, but I just wish the world had more common sense, and everything didn't need to be so specific all the time.
Oh, now you're dreaming, buddy.
Common sense is an uncommon virtue.
Was it Captain Picard in that episode where he said that law are not rules, instead they are guidelines for which we are supposed to make our lives better?
Yeah, I'm
really
sure.
Nerded up in here just
now. I don't know. I don't watch Star Wars.
you can shut the hell up, sir.
Troll face.
Exactly.
Great episode, by the way. Measure of a Man.
Oh, okay, my bad. It was Firefly. Whatever.
Go to hell.
Oh, you guys. Anyways, you started talking about something else. So
I don't know. Something about, I don't know.
Search queries. It reminded me because it had the word queer in it. So I
search queries.
Yes, it's something like 2% of ISPs.
Yeah, there's a bunch servers of like local ISPs are taking people's search results and running them through like certain commercial entities.
Yeah.
And getting money from them.
Well, the more I read this article, like, it doesn't seem like it's as bad as it sounds like. It's 2% of ISP,
and
which is
the smallest.
The shitty
I mean, the only one that I've really heard of is the Charter one, and they quit doing it.
Yeah, exactly. So it's really just a case of if you get a shitty ISP, they're going to do shady things.
Well, because they get money off it, and it helps them.
Yeah. Although I like how in this Ars Technica article they say it's surprising that 2% of 2% of American ISPs do that, whereas something like 0.17% in other countries do this. I'm like,
other countries other countries only have one ISP or two. Yeah,
exactly. If you're including Zimbabwe or something, you know.
Wait a minute. I thought other countries had more ISPs. That's why they had overall better service, because there was competition in the marketplace.
Tell that to the people who are throttling me every time I download a movie.
Oh, because that's Greece. Like, nobody
they know I download. It's really bizarre. It only happens when I download a movie or when I download music. They know. They know what I'm doing.
So just a certain type of traffic, not like just browsing your.
No, because I could download like a trailer or something from Apple, or I could download like a regular movie. But if it's a pirated movie, they know. It's really bizarre.
Well, you are breaking the law.
Wouldn't surprise me.
There's a
difference using public trackers.
You know what? If companies like Netflix and HBO and stuff made their shit available to other countries, even though you're paying for them, like, why can I not access HBO Go while I'm here? I'm paying for fucking HBO. I can't access
it. Why
are
you still paying for it?
Because it comes with my TV. That's why. HBO is awesome.
Okay, are you paying for TV over there in Greece right now?
Oh, no. This is, like, back in the U.S. I mean, I haven't, like, fled the U.S. completely. I'm going back. But
okay.
Just hanging out and going
but
out
my,
to ride
cable
around on a metal trike.
Yeah. But, no, I have my cable bill all paid up. You know, I'm paying my regular Comcast, good loyal customer, etc. And I have the HBO package, which I pay an extra, what is it, $10, whatever, a month. And it includes HBO Go, but for some reason, you can only access it while you're in the U.S. which sort of leads me to the point, which is why I'm pirating movies here, is because I want to fucking watch a movie and I can't because the services I pay for won't let me use them here.
I mean, yeah, I understand being bitter about not getting something you pay for, but at least they're being consistent and only they're not giving you the cable and not the HBO Go. I mean, it sort of seems like the deal is you pay for it there and you get it there. They don't have the rights to let you use it worldwide.
Well, I mean, see, I understand the whole international streaming thing, like why you can't get, you know, Netflix, like most of Netflix in Canada on their streaming service, because it's different copyright laws or whatever, licensing issues. But yeah, it's streaming to Steven. He's the same person. He's still paying for it, no matter where
because
he is.
Because you have to log in.
Still have access to it. They don't know who he is.
You have to log in with your Comcast account, though. You log in with your actual cable account to this. It's not like you're logging in with some random ass username and password. It's directly connected to my Comcast Bill account.
Okay, well, yeah, because that's why, like, what is that thing called? A Slingbox? Like, that's why that's perfectly legal and, like, nobody has any problems with it, is because you're just streaming it to yourself. It doesn't matter where you are.
Okay,
you know, Major League Baseball can't get on your ass because you're broadcasting without permission. It's only going to you. So that's why you're allowed to do that. In that case, like, I feel like you should still be able to watch it no matter where the fuck you are.
But okay, I can see that then if it's tied to, you know, something more substantial than an email account.
Right. You can't even log into
Netflix.
This
I get Netflix. I get, because I could sign my European buddy up for Netflix with my email account and give him the login, and that would circumvent that whole issue. But if it's tied to, I'm guessing you have to give them like your address and stuff to get a cable, obviously.
To get cable service?
I don't know. I don't have cable. So
oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. I mean,
this problem.
If you have cable service, I mean, there's a service set up to your house. You get a monthly bill, etc. And HBO Go, when you go to log in, it has buttons depending on the cable providers you have a contract with. It has a contract with, so you click on your provider's button, and then you have to log into your personal cable account, which is your account management, your billing, etc. So it's not really something that you give out to other people to use.
Okay, in that situation, yeah, I can see why it's a little bit less reasonable that they don't let you use that.
So anyway, that's why I pirate stuff here. That's why I'm bitter.
You just publicly admitted you pirated
door.
Stuff.
Well, if they want to come bang down my door, I'll just be like, listen, I pay this much a month. Go fuck yourself. Anyway, I think it's time for WTF news.
Yeah.
Woo!
Yeah. Ooh, it's been so long since I've been here live. I was expecting the music, like, it's not here. So I'm just like,
that was a great addition, Eric. It was like a ukulele. It was off key.
I have no rhythm. I am extremely white.
Vito's so alive, but at least I can have some rhythm.
Vito, are you still out here, by the way?
No, I left a long time ago.
Okay.
He's playing WoW, just not telling us.
About to say, you have some rhythm.
I have absolutely nothing to say about Steven's whining about not getting his American cable service in Greece.
You haven't had anything to say for anything at all this podcast.
It's okay.
Hey, it's been quiet for once.
Not okay.
That. He'll have something to complain about.
Like dogs doing
I always have something
class.
To say about what the fuck news, because it's basically people being stupid. And I love to talk about people being stupid.
And I can hear his clicking, so I know he's raiding.
What? I'm not raiding. If I was raiding, I'd be live streaming.
You mean raiding? You know, that thing you do with your eyes and a piece of paper?
So, first topic on WTF News is dogs doing yoga.
Why?
The things that people do in New York just blow my fucking mind.
Fucking yuppies.
When yoga
and this is why people
dogs,
hate America.
They call
right?
it
and
yoga.
It doesn't even have to be New York, though. That's just people do dumb shit with their pets all the time. Like pet psychologists What the fuck is a pet psychologist? Bitch, you can't talk to a dog. You ain't Dr. Doolittle. Shut the fuck up.
Apparently this person, it's been his lifelong passion, her lifelong passion, to be participating in Doga.
That's the one thing that you could aspire to is stretching your dog into a fucking pretzel. Congratulations. You are everything that's wrong with this world.
Somebody aimed lower in their lifetime goals.
Tinoman stumbled upon Doga because her dog liked to lie under her while she practiced.
So we're going in a whole different category of what the fuck news.
Well, you now, know isn't why one of the yoga poses the downward dog? Because she's from Florida.
She is.
And they just have to aim a little bit lower than everybody else.
We chant together to feel vibrations. Then we start moving into twists and
how
turns.
How does your dog
said.
Chant? It just barks? And you bark with it?
Oh,
what the
love
hell?
I'd love to see a YouTube video over this.
The person takes dog deeper into a stretch, and the dog takes the person deeper. If you have a dog on your arm in standing posture, it helps balance and strength. Wow.
What if you have like a Rottweiler? Then that's going to really build some balance and strength.
How about a St. Bernard?
There we go.
Oh,
my wife
man.
Does yoga. We've got a St. Bernard.
Oh my God. I'm sure guys, that'll work out great. I found a video of some of this dog yoga. I swear, this lady just sticks the dog on the ground, and I swear she looks like she's about to start humping it.
Well, you know,
put it in the
dog
in the chat,
yoga, and I wouldn't put it past her.
Well, according to the professionals.
Have you watched women do yoga? It's like solo sex positions.
Oh, my God.
Sticking a dog in there, you know, that's you're basically turning it into bestiality.
She's got the dog on the ground. She's got the dog on the ground, putting his face down and sticking his ass up in the air.
All right, guys, I got a new thing. Penis yoga. Women can do yoga on my penis. Come on, line up, ladies.
According to Dr. Robin Brennan, a New York veterinarian, unlike running and jogging, Doga is not physically strenuous for the dog.
It's a fucking dog. Running and jumping is what it does. It's like those fucking dog stairs that you put on the bed. It's a goddamn dog. It's what he does, all right?
Tiedelman believes Doga can embrace other domesticated creatures.
I'm watching this Doga video. Holy shit.
She says, it definitely works with cats. And when I do downward dog, my bird comes over.
I want to see like turtle yoga.
That just snake laden with innuendo.
Oh, boy.
What about goldfish yoga?
You just get over the bowl.
I'm going to do yoga with my lionfish.
How lonely do you have to be to invent this?
Extremely.
Forever alone.
Well, it's forever alone plus one.
You know, it'd be great if the dog just took a shit right on the mat. The yoga.
Squatting dog.
All right, let's not make fun of Native Americans.
It's a yoga pose, man. Talk about Doga.
There's a famous guy named Squatting Dog.
Is it really? Can't be that famous. I never heard of him.
Or was that from a movie? It was from a movie.
Oh, fucking
no. I think it was from that Chevy Chase movie.
It's from a 90s movie. I know
Man of the House.
Was that what it was?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
All right.
Way to make it sound racist. We're totally not being racist.
Unless we're racist against Chevy Chase.
Well, truck runs over a homeless man sleeping in a car wash twice.
Wait, he was sleeping in the car wash twice? Or he got run over twice?
No, I was just reading the article title. It said twice.
And if he got run over twice, is that like two distinct like situations, or it just the same truck ran over him.
He ran over and then
like
backed
up
him.
And then yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I haven't looked at the article yet.
John Tyler, 59, had gone into a car wash, not pronouncing the street name, to escape the rain, according to Lakeland Police Department. So this was in Florida.
Crevasse.
I don't know if it's crevice or crevasse. I don't know.
Crevasse.
It looks like crevasse. I don't know.
That's why I'm not pronouncing it.
On Main Street.
Crevasse.
So, yeah, an 05 Dodge Ram ran over it. He drove over a bump, thought it was part of the mechanism that triggers the car wash.
And then it screamed.
Yes. And then he heard Tyler yell, realized he drove over someone's legs, and then he put his truck in his reverse and ran over him again.
Whoops. Oh, shit, I bet that hurt.
Maybe if I run over in the opposite direction, it'll put everything back in place.
Well, apparently that guy was pretty drunk. He told an emergency responder that he had drunk about 4 6-packs that day.
Jeez.
A lot of six-packs. Well,
over the course of how much time?
By 4:30.
Wow. Well, it's Florida, so we're going to assume that since noon.
I mean, the guy was... He didn't have a job or anything, so he could have spent the whole time drinking.
Of course.
Oh, we're talking about the homeless man?
The homeless guy had drunk about 4 6-packs of beer that day.
Hey, he said it's homeless.
How does a homeless man
jobless?
Get enough money for 4 6-packs in a single day?
Oh, you'll be amazed.
Dude, panhandling. You get a lot of cash.
Shit.
He plays his kazoo on a street corner.
Oh. Oh, like the guy. It looks like the guy who. Yeah, I was about to say that the guy who got run over was charged with trespassing. So you know, insult to injury.
Well, would you rather wake up with broken legs, or would you rather wake up with a uterus where your stomach is supposed to be? That's
a lovely segue
what?
There.
That's what an Indian man is asking himself in New Delhi when he was admitted to a hospital near someplace, after complaining of severe stomach pains. Doctors suspected a normal hernia, and when they carried out the operation, they discovered that he had a female uterus, ovaries, fallopian tubes, a cervix, and underdeveloped vaginal tissue in that area.
So, was the stomach pain coming from fucking himself?
He transformed into a woman overnight?
You no, see he this? Just had it you see his that, whole kids? Life.
This is what too much masturbation will do to you.
No, dude, that's going to have the opposite effect. Then, like, young males are going to be jerking it all the time to try to have a vagina of their very own. What? And then it's going to make masturbation all the more, you know, effective. Because you don't... yeah, whatever.
It was a noble effort.
Yeah. But I was trying to imply then they could fuck themselves, but whatever.
Well, for those of you wondering...
Take a long walk around the block. I've got a joke to show you over here.
For those of you wondering, because I know many of you were, doctors are confirming that there were no formation of breasts in the patient.
See, that's just gotta suck. The guy's got internally, he's got all the lady parts. No boobs to play with.
I was just thinking the same thing.
The external reproductive organs of the patient were masculine, and he had no problems whatsoever with the sexuality.
That's nah,
weird. So he says.
So the doctor.
That part comes later.
You have a uterus. If you have a vagina in your stomach, you have issues with sexuality.
He didn't know he had one.
Just think, one of us could have a vagina in our stomachs right now.
I think one of us already
I'm not sure
vagina.
If that was supposed to sound scary or tempting.
I would Maybe have both. Hoped that no one would have found it by now.
Didn't for this guy.
Well, how old was he, does it say?
Doesn't say.
No, just referred to him as a man.
So why was he starting to have stomach pains? Was it that time of the month, or?
I'm wondering the same thing.
Did you notice any urine coming out of his pee or something like that?
Wait, what?
Urine in
or
his
no,
pee.
I mean,
that's a problem.
Oh my god, there's a lot of urine in here. I should get this
doctor, doctor, help.
There's doctor, urine I pee when I pee.
Blood. I meant blood. I meant blood.
Yeah, I confuse pee and blood all the time.
All right, when you're podcasting at 5 a.m., something's getting mixed up.
That's okay. We'll forgive you just this once.
All right.
Just going to make fun of you till next week.
Speaking
we'll
of...
make fun of him either way, so...
Des Moines, Iowa. Wow, Des Moines, Iowa.
Is that in Florida?
No. Usually nothing happens in Des Moines, Iowa, so it's really amazing that something actually did happen. But in Des Moines, Iowa, Connie Jones, 63, was assaulted with a bratwurst Monday night after refusing to fight with a homeless woman.
But, well, I guess she didn't refuse very well because she ended up biting her with a sausage.
She ended up getting beat with a sausage.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Yes, 31-year-old something-something Banks.
Tijuana?
I see that and I want to say Tijuana, but...
Is it Tijuana?
And you never want to go to Tijuana Banks. Let's just put it that
Let's
way.
Just say it's Tijuana.
Tijuana Man. Tijuana Banks. Apparently she, whatever, there was an altercation, and when... Miss Jones decided to walk away. She kept her cool, refused to fight, until Banks picked up a nearby bratwurst. How there was a nearby
bratwurst.
Just
laying around.
Yeah, I like they just had it just laying around.
And hurled it at the victim's chest.
I like that lying these documented attack. Grease marks
That's
on
real
Banks'
groove,
clothing.
Bitch.
It's on the police
That's real
report.
Groove, bitch.
In a police report somewhere in Des Moines, Iowa, it says the woman had grease marks on her chest.
I wonder if they did it like all CSI investigation, like looking for the splatter and the trajectory of the sausage.
Trying to see if there was a mushroom tip to make sure it really was the kielbasa.
Tawana Banks said that she yelled that she would do it again if provided the opportunity. So,
provided another bratwurst.
If I had another sausage, I'd throw it at you again. Maybe she was kind of like hoping it would come back like a boomerang. But you know what? This could really be the perfect like crime. You beat someone with a bratwurst and then you go home and you eat it and it's like, I didn't do nothing. Find a weapon. What are you talking about?
She should have eaten it.
Like, prove I did it. There's nothing here.
Of course, the magic ice bullet was made of meat.
Exactly.
More disgruntled people, this time in Wimbledon, England, where a very...
I'm pretty sure this is fake. That looks awfully fake.
Where a disgruntled employee decided to vandalize... the grounds at Wimbledon, instead of painting the lines onto the ground, he drew a giant penis in Wimbledon.
That looks fake as hell.
Yeah, I'm with Vito on this one. Or not Vito, sorry. Gonzo. This
no,
looks super fake.
I'm sort of thinking it's real, actually. Because they use that little machine that draws the line, that straight paints the line on the grass.
Before you go any further, Steve, go to the homepage of that site.
The poke.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, it's okay. A satire site.
Never
yeah.
mind.
Yeah, it has like Gollum going to a wedding.
Well, actually, no, that Gollum thing, I think that's a clip from a TV show.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm still not.
I redact so, my
is this a real site or not? I can't
Yeah, actually,
tell.
That's what I'm trying to decide now. It might not be a satire site.
Scientists warn sure of hipster flu
like
epidemic.
Onion UK.
How to smoke and sing in the shower. Ooh, I gotta watch this. It seems like a tutorial after my own heart.
Under their world news section. Okay, Stephen, here, you can verify this for us. Does Greece really plan to sell the Acropolis?
Actually, yes. That's actually the Finnish did try to use that as collateral.
Seriously?
Yeah, the Finnish declared the Acropolis and all the Greek islands as collateral for them to join the bailout program.
Okay.
We told
I do want to read. I do want to read from that article, though, just to confirm this story. Speaking on Greek national radio this morning, Petros Balas, professor of classical history at the University of Athens, said, "Tell me if he really said this." That's what the article says.
No.
I just pasted that in the chat if you want to look that up.
Okay, so they took a real story and exaggerated it a bit.
So I'm gonna say this might not be the best website ever.
See, because I'm looking. Yeah,
this is a total not sure if serious situation.
I'm doing Google. I mean, it's on Reddit, and I'm doing a Google to see if like other sites have picked it up. And
okay, I just found a story: Republicans back angry homeless guy for president.
Okay.
I don't know. I could see that as being true.
Okay, so I guess it's a satirical site where it takes sort of semi-real or real events and twists them like the Onion does. Okay.
But hey, on the upside, we did discover this while recording.
Yes.
Yeah, instead of 3 days later so that we have to revisit it and go, ah, oh, we're idiots.
Okay. Last piece of WTF news. A New Mexico mayor signed a $1 million contract with a company out of California, he signed nine contracts with a company out of California valued for $1 million. Apparently, while he was drunk.
Yeah, my kind of mayor.
Well, I mean, how drunk was he? There's phases of being drunk, as we all know. There's still fairly functional drunk, and then there's puking all over your shoes drunk. So where was he?
Well,
that's the thing is, what does he really want to admit? How drunk does he want to admit that he was?
This is where it gets shady, though, because he's in Sunland Park, New Mexico, Mayor Martin Resendez, whatever. The Albuquerque Journal reports that he acknowledged during a deposition that he had been drinking for several hours with executives of the architectural design firm Synthesis and didn't know what he was signing. So legally...
Oh, so the people he was signing contracts with got him drunk.
So legally the contract is void because he was intoxicated at the time of signing. But here's the thing, though. The work was... It says here that the work was performed under those contracts.
Yeah, see, if they already did it.
I mean, if you were wasted and you signed a contract and then some company comes into your town and starts building shit and you're the mayor.
You should know.
Right. So this is after the stuff has been finished that he decided to say, oh, by the way, I was drunk, so I'm not paying you.
Control Z, undo.
Well, his name is Resendez. He was trying to rescind his contract agreement.
Oh,
that was a bad pun. Oh, I apologize.
That sounded better in your head, didn't it?
That was a Steven, that was a Steven level pun.
It really was. It sounded better in my head, and then I said it out loud, and I was like, fuck.
And the city also contends that the contracts are not valid because they weren't approved by the city council.
Oh, well then.
It seems like you should, you know, address that issue first. Like, oh, and no. He was drunk too. But
I'm curious how this actually happens though. Like, how does the mayor sign a deal to build something and then never talk to the people again? Never once speak to these people. Apparently they're important enough to get a meeting with the mayor. Do they never come in and say, hey, we've got a progress report going on here. Hey, we want to show you how our work's been going. Or
well, even does
he they just assume that he got so drunk and forgot.
Even still, it comes back to the original point. How the hell did he not notice that there's a company building $1 million worth of nine things worth $1 million in his city?
Again, what were they building? Because, you know, you could have something really small worth $1 million.
But stop talking about your penis.
Hey, it might be small, but it's still
worth
$1 million.
Worth $1 million.
So take
what's yours worth? $150?
I'm Googling right now to see what other stuff is here, but it's 9 contracts, so it means that it was 9 different things valued at $1 million. So,
because I mean, they could have been like statues or something. Statues tend to be really expensive, don't they? So,
yeah.
I mean, even if it was just like 9 different statues, like in 9 different parts, that could add up to $1 million, and no one would really notice.
He actually built us one statue for every member of the Fellowship of the Ring.
Actually, this wasn't New Mexico. This is in Texas. This is in Sunline Park, Texas. So, correction on
no,
that.
No, it's not.
Wait, nope. What?
This article Texas. Says it's in. No. I'm fucking confused.
Well, okay. Kansas City News 5 says it's in Sunline Park, Texas.
No, no, no.
This
no, no,
article,
no, no,
Washington
no, no,
Post
no.
says Sunland Park, New Mexico.
Okay, here we go. Day I signed, I had way too much to drink. It was after 5 p.m. and I signed the contract and didn't know what I was signing. Sunland Park, New Mexico, Mark Resendez wrote in a questions from lawyers for the architectural design firm Synthesis Plus. My sister had to pick me up, he was quoted as saying. Resendez, a former El Paso, Texas police officer and Sunland Park Municipal Judge, he said he had been mayor since 2008 and planned to seek the Democratic nomination to challenge Republican U.S. Representative Steve Pierce.
Good luck with that.
Well, he might get it because now they know he likes to party.
Oh, well. Yeah, so it is New Mexico. A bunch of other sites confirmed that. Anyway, I guess that wraps it up for the topic list and WTF news.
Woo!
So,
all right.
We made it through without breaking anything.
Yeah, because we broke everything.
That's because
we
didn't
started.
Have anything running.
We spent a long time trying to get Ustream to work, and we were just incapable.
We made the attempt and failed miserably. The lesson here is never try.
We're professionally unprofessional. Let's put it that way.
Well, next week we will have it up and running, hopefully. So Kevlar should
probably,
be back, I think.
Maybe.
Yeah, we'll see. We don't know. We'll wing it.
Yeah, let's blame Kevlar. It's his fault because he's not here. So everyone
send what the hell, Kevlar?
send your hate mail to...
On this episode, we had Gonzo Ryder.
How you doing?
OC Entertainment.
I'm going to go get drunk and sign some contracts.
Yes. Ben Gwynn.
Steven, you know, I picked on you a lot this episode, but it's only because I missed you so much.
It's okay, Ben Gwynn. We'll see you again in a month.
All right.
Veto number 9.
I never did get my gypsy tears. What the fuck?
No, it's still about an hour early. It's only 5 o'clock in the morning here. So, anyway... follow us at Twitter at twitter.com/noisecast. Of course, visit our website, thenoisecast.com. Send us your comments, suggestions, tips, hate mail, whatever. We listen, we respond. Yeah, see you next time. Same time, same place with the Ustream for the Noisecast.
Bye.
Noisecast. Make bass. Yeah.